This morning, if you will take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 6. We've been going through a series of unbearable burdens. We in our lives have unbearable burdens. Sometimes that unbearable burden is the burden of guilt. We have guilt because we don't know Jesus Christ as our Savior and how to take care of that guilt in our lives. And so we find the answer to that guilt is to ask Jesus Christ to be our Savior. At the same time, though, sometimes bear guilt after being saved, because though we're saved and innocent before God, because we've been declared not guilty, yet because of our sin that we still continue to do, we end up breaking the fellowship with Him and have to 1 John 1:9, that is to confess our sins before Him, and He will forgive us. But we need to restore that relationship with Him. So we might have that unbearable burden, but there's an answer to that unbearable burden, taking it to God. Well, that's not the only unbearable burdens that we have. We have personal unbearable burdens in this life. I'll give you an example. Yesterday we went, or Friday, we went up to camp. Go there a little early to do some extra work. And here is a God story for you, a just so happened story. We started up the van on Friday morning or Friday afternoon. And as we did, we started up the van and it started a little slower. I need to change the plugs on it. It started a little slower, but I didn't think much about it. We went ourselves all the way to Columbus. And we get into Columbus, and on the way, I had to get a watch battery. My watch had died. It's kind of nice to know and when it's time to eat, you know, about every 2 hours or so, right? We go and turn to go to Walmart, and then I hear that the engine sputters. I thought, well, that's strange. And then they actually get in the parking lot, and it dies on me. Isn't that fun? It's about 3:30. And so I thought to myself, oh, the way it's sputtering, and when I pushed on the gas, I thought, it has to be something with the fuel. And I make a couple calls. You know, I'm glad that God gives us friends to be able to call up and say, look, I'm a little dummy about these things. What do you think? And they gave me some advice. So, in the end, and not only some advice, but the offer of help, which was a blessing, we called the tow truck. The tow truck towed us to the machine shop. The machine shop opens it up and said, your computer is soaked. It's got water in it. Now, did you know that a computer is in your vehicle? That's why your vehicle is so expensive. He said, the computer is soaked, and you know how well water and electronics get along. So you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking, there's no way. This is like going to be $1,000 for this van. So we are there. Having made some calls, we had a ride up to camp. If we needed to ride two rides up to camp, if we needed. My wife, even, she is not a driver. Not a driver at all. But she even offered to come up. Tell you, talk about a good friend. She's all right. I'll keep her around for a little bit. We had others that we were able to deal. So we had a bearable burden in our life that we were dealing with. And by the grace of God, we were able to deal with it. Not only by the fact that we had it in our own life, but for the people that we called, they saw that we had a burden in our life and offered to help. That's fantastic. Do you know that we have some great people here at Park Lane Baptist Church, and they're all here today. Can you believe that? People that will help any way that they can. You know, the unbearable burdens that we have or somebody else has, it's good when you are there struggling with them. Do you want to know how good God is? They took that computer out. They said, well, we'll check up on everything for it and let you know. Our plan at that point in time was to find out what the end result's going to be, give a call, and get a ride up to camp, and then use a camp vehicle to come back down here to be here today, and then go back up and pick up what's left of the van after they've repaired it, because they're going to be closed for the weekend. We're in Columbus, not Omaha. That was the plan. We're sitting there. We go over to Runza while we wait because the kids are starving. So you got to feed the kids. So we sat there and ate. And I could just feel that weight. You know what that is? You've had it before, I'm sure. You've had a point in your life where it's come to, I just don't know what I'm going to do next. This is a heavy thing. But you know what I'm glad of? I knew God was in charge. And even knowing that was some weight off the burden. We walked back over the whole 100 feet over to the car shop again, my exercise for the day, and get in there. He said, you're good to go. I said, what? They dried out that computer, put it in, and it works just fine. It cost me probably a tenth of what it would cost me. And so I praised the Lord. God is good. But you know how that happened? Not only is God good, but some of you bared our burden with us. I made two calls down here to Omaha, three, and each one willing to bear part of that burden. I called up to Genoa, and up there, they were willing to bear part of the burden. It is nice to know that you got people there that will bear your burden as well. You have been more involved in a different way. We've been praying for Amy Wilmoth, Pastor Wilmoth, and the baby. She had cancer, and that was taken care of. She went in for a checkup. She ended up because she was getting a rash. They checked her. The cancer was back. And she's pregnant on top of it, severely limiting the choices of what they could do. Not a good scenario. But you have been bearing that burden in prayer. I mean, we can't go heal her. We can't put our hands there and keep the baby safe. You have been diligent in prayer to because that's what we could do, in bearing that burden for them, offering assistance any way we can. And what we find is that not only has she successfully delivered her baby early and is in the NICU, the neonatal intensive care unit. Not only is the baby there, but doing terrific while he is there. Baby Asher. Well, I'm not done yet. You thought that was good, didn't you? Listen to this. Amy writes this in her blog. That is kind of a journal on the internet that you share. I was able to have my CT scan done here at the hospital this afternoon, and my wonderful counselor oncologist couldn't even wait until tomorrow to see when she saw the results. She was able to come to our hospital room to see Eric and I, her husband, Pastor Eric Wilmoth up in Bennington, to share the news in person. The scan showed absolutely no other cancer anywhere else other than what we already see and know about. And the doctor was genuinely shocked that the cancer was not anywhere else, as they would expect to find in most with a case like mine. Wow, what an amazing news. I said this is what we have been praying for along with so many, which is you guys and many others. My oncologist said to tell all of you that have been praying that it worked. Galatians chapter 6, there are unbearable burdens that you bear. This continues to be but lightened now somewhat, an unbearable burden for the wilderness. But you've been part of that. And that is the blessing of the unbearable burden of others. Though we may not be able to do something physically for them, we can appeal to God for them. Look, unbearable burdens do require help. We have to help. We sometimes need help. Now, understand this. Look at the text here. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, any sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks himself of something when he is nothing, he deceives himself in relationship to the spiritual. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. You strive to do in verse 5 here, for each one shall bear his own load. What is he talking about here? We have burdens, we have responsibilities that we need to face. We do carry our own load. This passage does not teach, if you've got something going on in your life, you give it to somebody else to carry other than God. You have responsibilities that you need to take care of. Work, at home, with your family, your finances, you have those. Nobody else can carry them for you. God has brought upon you, or because maybe sometimes of a mistake or of sin in the past that you brought upon yourself, you have burdens in your own heart and life that you have to carry. Your own cross that you bear. Don't think that you can just pass it off. However, when we have those burdens, here in chapter 6, verse 1, he deals specifically with sin. But I personally believe in verse 2 that he broadens that beyond sin, about helping bearing one another's burdens. When there is something that we do have going on, we need to seek God and Him for His help. God wants us to seek Him for His help. We must go to Him for help. Many of our burdens we try to carry on our own, and sometimes we can successfully, but not expediently, because we're not going to God and seeking His strength and help for it. In fact, in James chapter 1, verse 5, we're told, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously without finding fault. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, talking about not necessarily desires, it can be true, but needs in your life. We need to go to God for them. He wants us to go to Him. And He answers us when we call to Him. It says there, who among you, if you have a son who asks for bread, we'll give him a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, you'll give him a serpent. You don't do that, do you? If your son asks you for help changing the oil in the car, you're more than happy to help if you can. If you have a daughter that asks you for a brand new car, of course you'll get it. Well, maybe not that one. You'll give her advice on getting a new car. There you are, because you're wise and want to show her wisdom as well. You'll help them out. God, who are sinful, if we know how to give good gifts, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him? God wants you to bring your burdens to Him, and He will help you in those burdens. But not only this, but God also uses other people. God uses other people, God uses others to help us in our burdens. It says here, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. we have a personal responsibility in order to help others. Verse 2, bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. You have a, here it is a command. It is imperative. It is not the indicative, it is the imperative. Which means in the end, God is not suggesting, He is giving a commandment. You will bear one another's burdens. And in doing so, fulfill the law of Christ. Well, how does God use others to help us in our burdens? Well, God helps us, God uses others by way of them praying for us. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails or profits much. When we pray for each other, we make light of prayer. Have you considered that? Sometimes I think we have in our mind that saying a prayer by saying the magic words, those magic words have a special power on us or on somebody else. That's not what prayer is. You know what prayer does? Nothing. But hold on, hold on. Y'all got nervous. Prayer is speaking words. I can go to the cemetery and I can speak words to the dead. And guess what the dead do? They are good listeners, but they don't react very well. The power is not in the words of prayer. The power is in the God who hears my prayer. When sometimes you hear, especially the secular world, will pray for those who have been devastated by the Boston Marathon explosions. Indeed, do so. But I think sometimes what they have in mind is that prayer helps you feel better. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is talking to Almighty God and appealing to Him. He is the power of prayer. So the power that is in prayer is in the God to whom we appeal to. So yes, the phrase can be said, there is power in prayer, as we acknowledge that it is not the prayer itself, but it is the God who answers that prayer. You need to remember that. So that way, when you think about praying for somebody, you don't think to yourself, yeah, I should pray for them. Well, Father, help them. Well, I've done my duty of saying those words to God. No, remember, prayer is appealing to Him, calling out to the God who knows how to give good gifts, whose burden is light. God uses others to pray for us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. And in that, using others for us, they can counsel us. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but the multitude of counselors, there is safety. In Proverbs 15:22, it says, without counsel, the plans go awry, but in a multitude of counselors, they are established. God gives wise men His wisdom and wise people around us to help us make good decisions. Yesterday we were looking at standing the deck. It's only 20 below up at camp at the time. And we're looking and thinking about what we should do and what the weather might be. And we're leaning towards, well, if we try it out and see how it goes, because we'd like to get that deck stained. And then in the end, the more we talked about it, the wisdom of many counselors, we decided, you know what, we're better off making maybe a Park Lane trip to go up and take care of that for him, but it was too cold and it might become more of a mess than a blessing. The multitude of counselors. Multitude of counselors with, well, what do you think that's wrong with, what might possibly be wrong with the man? Just so I have an idea of how many dollar signs I'm going to see fly by. It was a blessing to have those counselors. Not only does God use others to pray for us and to bring counsel to us, but they can physically help us. We have a need. Sometimes people can step in. We have sign-up sheets out here. No, I think we're down to one sign-up sheet out here for the conference coming up this Friday and Saturday. And I know that God is going to move in your hearts, and you're going to fill those burdens that we might be able to demonstrate God's goodness through us, His work through us. We can physically help at times as well. James chapter 2, verse 15 through 17 speaks to this, putting that faith to action. If a brother or sister is naked or destitute of daily food, one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but do not give them the things that they need for the body, what good is it? In other words, don't just bless them. If you've got daily needs, their needs that you have, share with them. This isn't something that's being said as, you must do this thing or it'll put you in jail. It's voluntary. We find that throughout the scriptures. But as a brother and sister in Christ, we help one another physically with the burdens that we have as well. We saw this as we looked last week at the struggles and the fact that we need to pray and trust and enlist others. We also must ask for help from others. I want you to see that while you are to be a blessing, you're supposed to seek to help others be a blessing as well. It says if a man is overtaken in sin, whether they're in sin and they need guidance back out of it, or they recognize their burden that they have, they need to go and ask others to help. We are so good, because of our pride and because of embarrassment, we will fail to ask others to help us. We don't want other people to know the sin that we're struggling with, so we're not going to ask them to help us in it. Why do we do that? It's so foolish. We're brothers and sisters in Christ here. We want to help somebody. Guess what? You've got a sin in your life. You'll never guess what I've got in my life. There's sins in there too. Sometimes a matter of prayer and accountability. Some things we can bear the load of. Things that we struggle with, that we typically find victory over, but once in a while we still speed up a little more than we should. Once in a while we'll say something that we really shouldn't have said. Some of those burdens we bear, but sometimes we are in over our head more than we think we are, and we need to be asking for help. We need to reduce that pride and embarrassment that we're afraid of, and instead ask for help. How can you bear the burdens of me if I don't share them with you? Some of you have held burdens in your hearts and have failed to ask myself or somebody else to help you with that. And it's brought you down considerably. We're commanded to bear them, help you with that burden, but we can't if you don't hand it over. Or let us shoulder it with you. We must humble ourselves and not be afraid of embarrassment, because every one of us knows that we're not better than somebody else. We're just as open to sin. We find here even the warning that we need to watch our own selves when we help others with their burdens. Finally here, you must help others with their burden. As I mentioned before, it's a command. We've looked and see that there are unbearable burdens that we have that require help. Some of the burdens that we have, we carry our own load. But some of those are become too heavy for us, or it becomes an additional burden on us, and it's too difficult for us. What can we do? Well, we first go to God, and then we humble ourselves and go to somebody else and say, look, can you help me with this? And I can about guess what the answer is. No, I'm sorry, I'm too busy. Now I got my own load. No, that's not what the answer is going to be. Because we care for one another and be sure, what can I do to help? When you have a burden and you share it, and the other person says, let me know what I can do to help, we a lot of times don't let them know. They want to help, let them know. And then those of us, as we are told these burdens, it says here, bear, you must bear the burden of those. It says here, those who are spiritual, those are the spiritually mature, those who have through time, through spending time in God's Word, through gaining understanding of who God is, have grown to a certain maturity level. What exactly is that maturity level? Well, there's not a line that defines it. It's an ever-growing in Christ, because you never come to the point where you get a certain, for example, in your physical age, where you get a certain age, like the ripe old age of not yet 40, and you've attained that goal, and so you'd continue to be that not yet 40 all the way the rest of your life because you've met that goal. No, in spiritual maturity, in physical maturity, you continue to age and you continue to grow in your experience, you continue to grow in what you learn. Spiritually speaking, is the same way. But as you have these heavy loads, we need to go to those that we look at and say, these people clearly have a certain maturity about them that they can help me. One of the warnings in the scripture is that for a pastor not to be an amateur, a novice, somebody, a new believer. Why? Unless they become filled with pride. See how good I am? Because what would that pride be? Sin. We need to speak to people that will help us through those. And grow to become those people that will help others as well. We need to obey the command. The word is to bear. You must bear one another. And it's because of our love for each other that we see it not as a command, but as a privilege. Because of our love for God and for each other. And along with the fact of obeying that command is to give the assistance that others need. Maybe they need somebody just to talk to. Maybe they need somebody to sit there and pray with them. Maybe they need somebody to give them some good counsel and advice. So maybe they need somebody to come alongside and help with the yard work or help with maybe a bill or to help with whatever. And in doing so, don't forget the warnings. Sometimes when we're helping other people, we can get uplifted in our own minds. But the warning here is that we need to be to watch ourselves, consider yourselves, the end of verse 1, lest you also be tempted. We can be tempted with the sin, in the context here, with which they are tempted. We need to make sure that we're on guard for that. We could be tempted, we could be tempted in that we become proud. Well, I'm pretty excited that they came to me because they think I'm spiritually mature, because they think I can help them with their problem. And we can allow that to become pride. We need to watch ourselves and also consider ourselves where we are. Because as soon as we think, verse 3 here, as soon as we get to the point where we think we're all that and more because, we're super spiritual, we need to be careful. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. We need to be on guard and examine our own lives and work. Then we'll rejoice and we help each other, and our rejoicing cannot be so that others lift us up. We need to bear our burdens, do so humbly. We need to ask others to help us with those burdens as they become unbearable. We need to stay on guard and be ready, because sometimes their burdens will become our burdens if we're not careful. We also need to bear one another's burdens, making sure we're taking care of our responsibilities. At the same time, looking at and saying, these people have burdens. We're praying for them. We're helping and encouraging them with good words from God's Word. We are helping them maybe physically any way we can. Why? Well, we're going to be commanded. But secondly, we have God's love in us and through us. John Wesley had this rule for his life. I think it's a good rule for us as well. Do all that you can by all the means that you can, in all the ways that you can, in all the places you can, in all the times you can, to all the people that you can, as long as ever you can. Chapter 6, verse 2 of Galatians, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ.